Stories 2 Part A Micro-Listening
Communicative Function Drawing Inferences You're going to hear 10 short conversations between two speakers. At the end of each conversation, a question will be asked about what was said. Choose A, B, C, or D for the best answer to the question you've heard.
1. Hello, David. Fancy meeting you here in the zoo.
Hello, Jane. Nice to see you. Are these your kids?
What can you infer from the conversation?
2. Have you prepared for the final exam?
John hasn't returned my notes to me yet.
What did the man mean?
3. Will you be joining us this evening?
I'll be meeting my girlfriend at the airport.
What does the man mean?
4. Would you like to go for a picnic with us?
What a pleasant idea to spend a hot day.
What does the man mean?
5. Would you mind giving me a hand?
Don't you see I'm working now?
What does the man mean?
6. How did your interview go?
I couldn't feel better about it.
What do we learn from the conversation?
7. Have you got the book you need?
The library was closed before I got there.
What does the man mean?
8. Why are you eating an apple for lunch?
It's the only food in the house.
Why is the woman eating an apple?
9. Henry says Professor Bush is very strict.
I used to believe that, too.
What does the woman mean?
10. Do you have Tom's telephone number in New York?
Not yet, but he promised to send it to me as soon as he had a phone installed.
What do we learn from the conversation? Part B, Macro Listening. Passage 1, Lost in the Fog.
Exercise 1. Listen to the story and choose the best answer to each question you hear.
It's been quite some time since I was last in London, but something happened during that visit that I'll remember as long as I live. London had one of the thickest fogs in years. You could hardly see your hand in front of your face. The traffic crept along, their lights on, and their horns blowing furiously. When evening fell, the weather got even worse. The fog was as thick as pea soup. All traffic came to a standstill. I had an important meeting on the other side of town, but it was impossible to find a taxi. I decided to walk and started out confidently. Minutes later, I was completely lost. I couldn't even find a street sign to get my bearings. Then I heard a voice come out of the fog. "I suppose you're lost. Can I help you?" I could barely see the young woman who had spoken to me, but was grateful to find another person out in the fog. I explained where I wanted to go, and she said she knew exactly how to get there. I was doubtful, but followed her through the dark streets. The city seemed as quiet as a graveyard, and I remembered thinking my guide could be leading me to an alley where she and some friends would rob me. But my fears were unfounded. The woman led me straight to my destination. I was amazed at how well she had found her way through the fog. I know this part of town quite well, she replied. But the fog, this terrible fog, made it impossible to see anything, I said. The woman smiled and gave me an unexpected answer.
Question number one. Why did the man have to go out on such a foggy day?
Question number two. During what time of the day did the story happen?
Question number three. What was the man's attitude toward the woman at first?
Question number four. What do you suppose the woman would answer?
Question number five. What can't be inferred from the story?
Exercise two. Listen to the story again and write down in the blanks all the details you can find to describe the fog, the traffic, and the city.
It's been quite some time since I was last in London, but something happened during that visit that I'll remember as long as I live. London had one of the thickest fogs in years. You could hardly see your hand in front of your face. The traffic crept along, their lights on, and their horns blowing furiously. When evening fell, the weather got even worse. The fog was as thick as pea soup. All traffic came to a standstill. I had an important meeting on the other side of town, but it was impossible to find a taxi. I decided to walk and started out confidently. Minutes later, I was completely lost. I couldn't even find a street sign to get my bearings. Then I heard a voice come out of the fog. "I suppose you're lost. Can I help you?" I could barely see the young woman who had spoken to me, but was grateful to find another person out in the fog. I explained where I wanted to go, and she said she knew exactly how to get there. I was doubtful, but followed her through the dark streets. The city seemed as quiet as a graveyard, and I remember thinking my guide could be leading me to an alley where she and some friends would rob me. But my fears were unfounded. The woman led me straight to my destination. I was amazed at how well she had found her way through the fog. "I know this part of town quite well," she replied. "But the fog, this terrible fog, made it impossible to see anything," I said. The woman smiled and gave me an unexpected answer. Passage 2. Unlucky in Love.
Exercise 1. Listen to the story and choose the best answer to each question you hear. During the war, a fighter pilot was shot down over enemy-occupied territory. Fortunately, he was saved from his burning plane by a group of nuns from a nearby convent. He had been knocked unconscious during the crash landing, and when he came to, he was astonished to find a woman leaning over him. It was Sister Maria, the nun in charge. She said to the pilot, "This convent is a teaching hospital. We have many young girls here learning how to be nurses. We will hide you here as long as possible, but you will have to obey very strict rules." The pilot agreed to disguise himself as a nurse. He was not allowed to talk with either the nuns or the nurses. He had to stay in his small room as much as possible. By shaving twice a day, wearing a wig, and a nurse's uniform, he was able to fool anyone at a distance. It was a difficult life, however. He grew very lonely, especially when one of the nursing students caught his eye. She was very quiet and shy, turning away whenever she saw him glancing her way. The pilot fell in love with her and thought of her constantly. One day, the pilot could stand it no longer. He found the nurse working in the kitchen. He crossed over to her and said, "Please, don't turn away. I've fallen in love with you." He started to put his arms around the nurse. The nurse then said something that made the pilot step back in astonishment.
Question number one. Where did the story take place?
Question number two. Who saved the pilot?
Question number three. What did the pilot have to do to prevent himself from being found by the enemy?
Question number four. How was his life among the nurses and nuns?
Question number five. What might the nurse say that made the pilot step back in astonishment?
Exercise 2. Listen to the story again and complete the answers to the following questions. During the war, a fighter pilot was shot down over enemy-occupied territory. Fortunately, he was saved from his burning plane by a group of nuns from a nearby convent. He had been knocked unconscious during the crash landing. And when he came to, he was astonished to find a woman leaning over him. It was Sister Maria, the nun in charge. She said to the pilot, "This convent is a teaching hospital. We have many young girls here learning how to be nurses. We will hide you here as long as possible, but you will have to obey very strict rules." The pilot agreed to disguise himself as a nurse. He was not allowed to talk with either the nuns or the nurses. He had to stay in his small room as much as possible. By shaving twice a day, wearing a wig and a nurse's uniform, he was able to fool anyone at a distance. It was a difficult life, however. He grew very lonely, especially when one of the nursing students caught his eye. She was very quiet and shy, turning away whenever she saw him glancing her way. The pilot fell in love with her and thought of her constantly. One day, the pilot could stand it no longer. He found the nurse working in the kitchen. He crossed over to her and said, "Please, don't turn away. I've fallen in love with you." He started to put his arms around the nurse. The nurse then said something that made the pilot step back in astonishment. This is the end of Lesson 20.